Welcome to the Leading Lane Podcast for real estate pros by real estate pros with your hosts, Ashley Frederick and Stephen Birch. If you're looking for an honest, authentic, and raw perspective, you found it.
All right. Welcome everyone back to Leading Lane. Today we are going to talk about the importance of using a local agent. This is like one of those hot topics for me that I feel like I could talk about for an hour just due to situations that we've had or expectations that I think that buyers and sellers should receive from an agent that I can guarantee you they're not if they're not using someone.
What do you mean by a local agent though? Let's break this down.
Yeah, I think it's probably different a little bit everywhere, right? But for me, if this is just me personally, like I typically will travel like a 40-mile radius of Marshfield. So the reason for that is I think it's important to be readily available for my clients. I think both buyers and sellers, if you're going to want me to show you a house that's like 3 hours away, I don't have an extra 7 hours. Like, I'll be honest, like I don't have an extra 7 hours to drive 3 hours, show you for an hour and then drive 3 hours back. The other part of that is, you know, we're starting to heat up again. So we're kind of getting into these gotta be there in the first 24 to 48 hours. Same thing. Like that's probably not going to work ideally for everyone. So for me, like local is, you know, probably a 40-mile radius. And I think that it could be bigger or different. Like when you have a huge population, like if you come from a metro area, I'm sure it's very different, but in rural Wisconsin, 30-minute difference is very different. So what's happening a town, you know, 40 minutes from here might be a college town. The price of homes are completely different. The pace of inventory is different. And like for me, in order to truly serve a client, I think you have to know the area. Mm-hmm. So where's the nearest grocery store? Like if I go somewhere an hour away, I don't know where the nearest grocery store is.
Right.
Or like, what's the best restaurant? No idea on that either, but you're going to have to take over for a second.
So like, to me, like when you say that, it's like, all right, the agent's going to have to Google where's the restaurant or the, you know, the grocery store, or the locksmith or whatever else. Like at that point, like what are you truly serving your client if you're having to use Google? Like the client can use Google. You know, to me, the people are hiring us to be able to represent them and work on their behalf and in their best interest. And I think a lot of agents, when they go do, you know, outside of their local market, it's at least my opinion too, that they're trying to serve themselves of that commission and have commission breath versus yep. truly serving the person on the other side that they're representing, let it be the buyer, let it be the seller. So absolutely. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you.
And this came up actually last night. Super fantastic family friend is moving back to the area, the state. And, you know, text messaged me last night and asked if I served Madison, which I mean, Madison is 2.5 hours away. That's the capital. I mean, it's, I don't know, quadruple the size of Marshfield. And sure, I have a family member that lives there, but I know nothing about school, you know, handyman, inspectors, what that pricing looks like. I mean, sure, I could try to figure it out. And so I literally texted him and was like, so glad you're coming back. Would love to help you. However, I don't think it would be in your best interest to not have a local realtor that knows all local. Same thing. Like, I don't know, like some towns are different as to, can you have a fence in this neighborhood? Mm-hmm. Can you not have a fence in this neighborhood? Like, I don't know those things if I'm not from there. And then I said, but I'm happy to find you a realtor there that I think will fit you. And I actually know one there because mm-hmm. a big city. I work with a realtor there on a regular basis and refer them there. And I mean, I still get something from that. Mm-hmm. But to me, like the commission isn't the point. Like the point is that I care deeply for them and I want them to have the best representation. And I'm not it. Mm-hmm. I am not the best representation 3 hours away because mm-hmm. not only that, like they're going to be moving here, not locally. So that agent's probably gonna have to do video tours, you know, those types of things. And again, it's 2.5 hours away. Like it just doesn't make sense. So he responded back to me with the quotations that I put about, like, I wouldn't be able to represent you in your best interests. And he's like, how did I guess you were going to say that? You're the ultimate professional. I trust your judgment. Thank you for being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it comes down to is, we have other agents that come here from out of the area. And I just don't understand, I guess, like when they're showing a buyer the house, show a property last night, and I called her ahead of time and I had to be like, make sure your buyer knows there's a park around here, the element. Or I just refer to an agent out of the area and be like, hey, like my client's looking to move. It's a little outside of my area. You know, can you take care of them? Because then I think about who's the best home inspector. Okay, then things come up in the inspection. Who's the best electrician, the best plumber? Like, you're not going to know any of those contacts. Plus, it's just like after they move in, things come up all the time.
Right.
Hey, actually, like we decided to have the house painted. Do you know a good painter? So I think that those are probably like my biggest frustrations of what happens in a transaction. But I don't know what you see on your end.
No, like, you know, I always say, I mean, we're licensed in the entire state, right? So yes, we know the state laws, but they're... It is the service of the client is ultimately what we're doing. We can talk somebody through the transactional side of things, no issue there whatsoever, but it's the true creating your roots in that community that I think that is where you truly do serve your clients, especially, I mean, let's be real. A lot of people, you know, especially coming into the area, want to know about the school systems. Like, how are you? Yeah. I mean, you already said it. Like, how are you supposed to be able to say that? Like, that's not transactional, you know? So I'm a firm believer that if it's outside of your scope, like, then go ahead and refer out. Now, I will say that we have a couple of agents that are from, you know, larger areas within the state. And so they were born and raised and, you know, they're transplanted here now. And so they have roots.
That makes sense.
I'm totally okay with that. But, you know, we had a situation this last week, actually. It's funny that we were trying to come up with a topic, and I have multiple now that does pop in my brain about this. We have an agent that is going outside, like our agent is going outside of our typical market. So it's a completely different MLS. So like, not only do you not know the area, but you are not a part of their, you know, the MLS and association. So you don't even know their contracts. So my agent was going to submit an offer on a property, and the listing agent responded back and said, you need to use our contract. And so my agent's like, what do I do? Well, to my opinion, like, A, first off, we know the law, so you have to present any and all offers. So if you write it on our contract and they don't like it and they want it on their contract, even if they accept the terms, the basic terms, they need to rewrite it and then send it back over to you as an counter offer. But that right there even shows, in my opinion, like, at least for our rules and regulations for our association, you cannot send out blank contracts to people outside that are non, you know, under the association. So right there, red flag, we're going to be dealing with somebody, even though that they're trying to sell it, that is not even following the rules. And then here we are going into this market. We don't even know the rules. Mm-hmm. Like, you're creating a cluster that does not need to be had. Yeah, we can help them a little bit, but at the end of the day, like, you have to make sure that they're qualified. Like, if you're going to go to the doctor and you have a, you know, an issue with your eyesight, right? Like, you're not going to go then to a foot specialist but just because they went to medical school. Like, you need to go to somebody that is hyper-focused on your eye, not your freaking foot. Yeah, they're both doctors at the end of the day, but that doesn't mean that they're going to do what you need to and get the best results for you at the end, you know? It is crazy to me. We had, I know of an agent that would go do showings for people. It was about 2.5-3 hours away from her main market. And so she would drive there, drive back. So there's 6 hours just in driving. I think overall, she showed like 9 or 10 different properties to these people. I think, she stayed at a hotel 2 or 3 times. So look at all the gas, the time, like hotel expenses. And then ultimately they decided that they were going to rent. And she was pissed because she spent all this time doing this and blah, blah, blah. Like, she's ranting and raving that, like, you know, like basically bitching about these people that she wasted her time on okay, A, if you did not qualify them, and you can't, you know, be mad at them if they decide to rent because you could not find them something, like, why? Like, maybe if you were truly servicing them and helping them, you would have been able to say, hey, this is not a realistic expectation because this market doesn't support what you're looking for. So you were saving yourself time, money, energy, effort, like all of these different things. But people seem to be chasing pennies when they're tripping over dollars. And you can focus on your primary market and service people well, get your reputation going and up. And then at the end of the day, the people, just like your example that you shared, they're going to respect you even more, which now you're going to have another raving fan on top of what they already were raving about you. And then they're going to recommend you because you're the professional. This will pay off later on. If you have the commission breath and you're chasing that dollar, to me, I don't feel that you're doing yourself justice, nor are you doing your clients justice.
And I think it comes back to, you know, like practicing competently. Like, are you actually practicing competently if you don't know the area? Like, I always think of this small little town outside of Marshfield, like 3 minutes outside of town, and they have wells. Mm-hmm. But if you're not from the area, you probably don't know that. Mm-hmm. So it's so funny when you get a non-local realtor that writes an offer, and lo and behold, there's no well water septic inspection. Mm-hmm. And then they figure it out like the day before closing, and they're like, oh, can we, you know, we forgot to do that. Can we postpone an ad? And no, I mean, like, that's your responsibility for knowing that area. Right. It's that, oh, they have wells.
Right.
You know, I think on the list side, I think that it's, you know, even more so unfortunate. One, because, you know, again, every city is different as far as their values. So like, if you're not from the area, like we just had one from, I think it was 3 hours away, and they listed it. It just creates all kinds of issues. Like, one, pricing, like I'll look at the price and I'll be like, okay, well, they were pricing that like in the area that they live in. That is not a price here. You know, secondly, like, they are not part of the MLS. So they throw it in another MLS. So it doesn't actually show up in ours. Mm-hmm. And then every time they do it, instead of the city saying Marshfield, it says other. So like, no one can find it. So sometimes people will be like, well, I drove by this sign, but I can't find it anywhere. And then I'm, again, always like, how is that servicing that seller? You know, but I think about times, like, you know, we have vacant properties, obviously. We had a hailstorm in October, and, you know, like, the sellers live 4 hours away. Like, of course I went there, like, you know, and lo and behold, they needed a new roof. Like, if an agent was 3 hours away, like, do you think they were going to come and make sure that the basement wasn't flooded if there was, you know, hail damage? Like, I don't think so. But twice this week, we had situations where clients called us, the office, two different agents. Agents asked if they were working with anybody, and they said, nope, pre-approved. Yep. Show them the property, stay in touch. And then 4 days later, got an offer from a non-local realtor for those clients. And, you know, so one of them was on one of my transactions. So I reached out to the agent, and I just said something. I think I said, I'm just clarifying, you haven't seen the property that you wrote on, correct? He's like, yep, I was out of town. And the funny part is that he wrote as a buyer's agent. So as a buyer's agent, you're supposed to be working in the best interest of the buyer. So I'm slightly confused on, if you've never stepped foot in the property, how you're actually working in their best interest. Because, like, did you point out, you know, XYZ might be wrong? Or how are you helping them price the house if you haven't actually seen it? And then I think he said something like, yeah, they went through it on Saturday. And I was like, well, actually, I showed it to them on Wednesday, and they said they weren't working with an agent. And then he just wrote back, thanks for helping me out.
Like,
it doesn't quite work that way.
With the recent, like, lawsuits, you know, I think this is a prime example, right? Like, you know, we're just that buyer's agent, and I'm going to flip this. Buyer's agents are just feel that they're entitled, quote unquote, just because that they're going to go and write it, that they're going to be giving or receiving a commission. Now, how does that work in your market in this situation? Like, did he write his compensation within the contract, negotiate it? No.
Nope.
And then, so do you,
but are technically you, that buyer could owe two commissions.
Correct. Like, and so here we are, like, you know, in my mind, not that, you know, like, it's not my goal to be facetious by any means, but also if you're not doing justice and you did not, you know, put your compensation in there and you're not a part of our MLS, so we have the compensation and cooperation, like, I don't have to pay you a commission. You can write it all day long. You know, correct. I don't have to pay you. Where is the agreement between you and I on me paying out a commission at that point? Your buyer should be responsible for you to be able to do it. And I'm going to take the buying side because I showed them as well. Like, you know,
I mean, I just don't think people, you know, think about it, but it just blew my mind. It didn't come together for numerous reasons, but you know, that there are other, again, like, you just have to compare like apples to apples, right? So I also wrote a love letter, which again, like over time, I've like really tried to have that discussion with clients, how that's really not in their best interest for numerous reasons. And in the love letter, it was like, I think there were like three fair housing violations. I mean, they were just talking about disabled parent, their age.
Absolutely insane.
So again, these are all like non-local realtors. I just feel like, and I told the girls and the staff, like we have to be a little bit more like pushy on these. Like we need to ask questions. We need to these types of things. But, you know, I just really try to encourage agents I know that it's so easy, like if you're a new agent or whatnot too, to, you know, maybe you're hard up for some cash and you just really want to go like, you know, look at it. But it's just, I feel, you know, you could end up in a lawsuit real fast because that's something you didn't know about that city or that, you know, township, whatever it might be. The other thing I think that, for me personally, is like one of the biggest drivers for this too, is that I'm a firm believer of, you know, give where you live. Mm-hmm. And what I always say is, you know, if this agent lives like 3 hours away, like, are they supporting your little league baseball team? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I was going to take a picture of it yesterday. I think I had 15 sponsorship requests on my desk. Like, I'm guaranteeing you that those non-local realtors are not getting those requests, right, nor are they going to pay them. So, yeah, that's where it always comes for me is, you know, you have to really think about like the overall, like who you're going to run into at the grocery store, like who you're going to run into going out to eat. But I think that's just what one thing is. I'm just really, it is like a little just of a area that really irks me, but.
Yeah. We had a topic similar in one of our sales meetings not too long ago. Our community is, our leaders in our wonderful community are, exploring the option of bringing in a slaughterhouse, and the slaughterhouse will be more in where it was designed for residential area. So my question was, okay, let's say that you're an out of town agent, non-local, you don't know about said slaughterhouse, and you're showing them a house that borders up against the line, property lines of where the slaughterhouse is going to be built. So let's say that you close the transaction, you're so excited, and then here comes a slaughterhouse. They didn't know, you didn't know. And so therefore, but it was public knowledge, you know, and does that put you in a position now that these buyers, now owners of this property, had no freaking clue, and they leaned on you for your guidance and support in making sure that you had their best interest? Like, what would that end up like in court? Like, would you now be a proud owner as an agent to that house that you just sold them? And you, I mean, your commission's not that big. I'll be real clear there, but you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. But this is a sue happy world. We have no idea what people are going to sue for, and you have to be able to make sure that your reputation is protected and the legality portion of it is protected too. We all make mistakes; things happen. But if you're not acting in the best interest and you're putting yourself first, and that commission even further out there in front of you, to that's the only reason why you're showing. Yeah, that's not sitting well for me. I don't feel that's good practice. And I think that's probably why a lot of agents have a bad rap. Our industry as a whole has a bad rap, because you're not doing your responsibility to help that client.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other thing that happens when, what I've found is, you know, is that let's say that they do get under contract with a non-local buyer. So they came for the showing, maybe. I like to go to home inspections with my clients. You know, a lot of times we'll go back and we'll measure for their furniture, or they want to bring their parents through, or they want to bring their kids through, same thing. Like, highly unlikely that the agent from like 2 hours away is going to make time to do that. So a lot of times we'll have it where like they come for the showing, home inspection, like they don't come from the home inspection. So then again, they're also like negotiating on an inspection that they didn't actually see anything. And then, like, you know, my favorite, I did a reel on this not too long ago, but then they skip the final walkthrough because, you know, that would mean that they'd have to drive here 2 hours through the final walkthrough. And then they don't come to closing. So honestly, like, they've never been seen after they did the first showing.
Right.
And they just collect their check at the end of the day. And for me, it's supposed to be like, you know, you're there for the whole entire process. And like, you are their advisor the whole entire way through at the closing table,
correct,
the final walkthrough, the day after, you know, day after, weekend, like moving in. Like, that's where I think that, you know, it's no two agents are the same is what I really try to tell people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, to sum it up, don't be that guy. Don't be that agent, right? Like, make sure that you're serving your client properly and make sure that you, I mean, look in the mirror first of, is this truly, are you doing it for yourself? Or are you truly doing it for your client? And if you can walk through and move forward in saying that it is for the client, then hey, you go for it. But this is definitely lessons learned on, don't be running after your pennies to be tripping over dollars, because you're going to be missing out on a lot of opportunities because you're not focused and to what is right in front of you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll end it with just, if you can spend that time and energy in your local market, that right, will reap its rewards. I can guarantee you that.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for listening today. We appreciate you and we'll see you next time.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and share with others. Stay connected for more genuine insights and strategies to boost your real estate career on Facebook, or check out our website. We'll see you next time.